You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. I'm your host, Mark King. Monday is here. July 1st is here. NBA free agency has started. It started last night at 5 o'clock. The Grizzlies have done some things. They have made a trade. We will get into all that in today's episode of Locked On Grizzlies. We'll talk about the Jonas Valanciunas contract situation on this first segment. The second segment, we will get into the Andre Iguodala trade for the first rounder. And then the last segment, there's a few questions that you guys sent in for a kind of short, quick Monday mailbag. And I'll get to those in the last segment of the show. But let's start with Jonas Valanciunas. He re-signs with the Grizzlies for 3 years, $45 million. I put out on Twitter yesterday that if he re-signed for anything above $45 million for 4 years, it would be an overpay. That's around like $11, $12 million a year. He's getting $15 million a year, roughly on the average. I think it's a bit much for Jonas Valanciunas. It's not something I would do, but I don't think it's terrible either. Now, I've been probably a big proponent of just letting Jonas Valanciunas walk and just kind of entering the full rebuild. But I understand the why behind it. I understand why we're wanting to re-sign Jonas Valanciunas and bring him back, because you want someone, you want someone like Jaren Jackson Jr. to have Jonas, a veteran to learn from. You kind of protect Jaren Jackson Jr. from having to play a lot of center minutes early on in his career, and that's fine. Like I said, I get all that. I think it's a bit much for Jonas Valanciunas, especially when you see someone like Brook Lopez getting $12 million a year. I think it's a bit much, but at the same token, I understand it. It's not crazy. It's not insane. Like, it's not $19 million a year or anything like that. So you can live with it. You can be okay with it. Jonas is a fun guy. He's fun to talk to. He's fun to be around. He's fun to watch. So I'm okay with it. At the end of the day, you can understand the why behind it, and also understand that you think it's a little bit much, and still be okay with it. And they structured the deal even better. Again, I was all right with it because I understood it, and it's not terrible at $15 million a year. But then the contract details come out from Chris Harrington of the Daily Memphian. He gets the actual details, and it's a descending contract. So it'll start at $16 million this year and work its way down to like 13.4 the last year. So that's a win right there for sure for the Grizzlies, because you get into a situation where the older he gets, the less, because you probably in that third year, you're getting to a situation where Jonas Valanciunas could very well be your backup big coming off the bench. And you don't want to get to a situation where your backup or your starting center or your backup big is making $16 million a year. That becomes a much difficult, much difficult contract, much more difficult contract, to trade in the long term. So I think that's something you want to try to avoid. And they definitely did that in the way they, structured the contract. So the older Jonas Valanciunas gets, as he declines in his age and his productivity, so will that contract. So it's not something in that third year, if you wanted to trade it for a different asset, it's not that big a deal. It's definitely tradable at $13 million. Another pro on that is they only did 3 years. They didn't give him a fourth year, which I was very, very concerned about, because he could have had this deal with his opt-in and then extension of 1 year plus 2 years, could have had a three-year deal. So I was always under the assumption that it would probably be a four-year deal, because why would you opt out of a three-year deal just to get another three-year deal? So that was very strange to me. Again, I don't know why he opted out. I still don't know. I tried to figure that out in my brain, why he would opt out and basically get the same amount of money. So that didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me, unless it was just something that the Grizzlies are saying, hey, we'll give you the 3 year deal, but you have to opt out so we can structure the contract a different way. That's the only thing I can think of. But again, the first year is like $16 million and he was at 17.6 on the opt-in. So it's not that much of a difference. So I'm not entirely sure why he opted out. I'll ask him when I see him next time we get into a situation where that comes up. But either way, you don't include the fourth year. That's a big win for the Grizzlies. I'm sure that if he wanted to stay, something had to concede, and the Grizzlies, you know, had to get something in return for giving him a 3-year, $45 million deal. And I think the way the contract was structured, as far as descending and the no fourth year, those were probably sticking points for the Grizzlies that they said, this is what we have to give you the deal. And I love that part of it. I love that, again, we talked about this in the Mike Conley trade, and you get into the nuances of the deal. That is the part that really gets you excited about the front office is really trying to get into the minutiae of the contract and structure it. You know, yes, bring Jonas Valanciunas back, but structure it in no fourth year in such a way that it really still benefits the Grizzlies, because that fourth year would have lined up with the extension of Jaren Jackson Jr., and you don't want money tied up in Jonas Valanciunas when you may need that money to max out or Jaren Jackson Jr. So that's something that you'll have to have, because Jaren Jackson Jr. most likely going to restricted free agency expecting a max contract, and that's something you're going to have to give him. So you don't want your money tied up in Jonas Valanciunas when you need it for Jaren Jackson Jr. So those are all positive. Again, a little more money than I'll probably have paid him, but that's okay. It's not like it's crazy. It's not like it's a lot more money. I was talking about $12 million. I landed on $15 million. It happens, and it's okay. And I think I'm okay with it, because the way it gets structured, the little details of the contract, that's what even more so lets it be okay in my mind. That's something that you can ask, that you can move down the line if you need to. You know, if Jonas Valanciunas does not play his entire contract out for the Memphis Grizzlies, would not surprise me. But you have him here for the next few years. You have him protecting Jaren Jackson Jr. in center minutes, and you have someone who can, can mentor the younger guys. You have a veteran, so those are all good things. So overall, I think the Jonas Valanciunas is good. I don't think it's like a home run just because of the money, but I think it's overall pretty good the way they structured it. And I think it's a win for the Grizzlies. So they did that yesterday. Coming up next, we're going to talk about this other deal that happened late last night. The Grizzlies trade for Andre Iguodala from the Warriors and a first-round pick. So we're going to talk about that coming up next and break that down after the break. Welcome back to the show. Again, we talked about Jonas Valanciunas in that first segment. Second segment of the show, we're going to talk about this Andre Iguodala trade that the Grizzlies did last night. So we talked about several times last week about the Grizzlies using this traded player exception, and that's exactly what they did last night. The Warriors trying to sign D'Angelo Russell needed someone, a third team, to take on Andre Iguodala's $17 million contract to create space so that they could take on D'Angelo Russell. And so they created space by simply shipping Andre Iguodala off to the Grizzlies. And what does that cost the Warriors? Well, it cost them a first-round pick. And so I think that's extremely – I mean, this – we talked about the last segment of this about Jonas Valanciunas being okay, but this is a home run. This is exactly what we talked about all last week. The Grizzlies going out and getting assets and acquiring picks, using the cap space, renting it out, however you want to view that. But they go out, they help another team out who needs to get rid of a player. And Andre Iguodala is not like a player you're dumping either. I mean, he's a good player. So, like, we'll talk about that in a second. But you go out and you get a player into your cap space. I still haven't seen what they're sending the Warriors back. It probably will be close to nothing. But what it costs the Warriors to be able to dump that cap space and be able to, because the Warriors are in frantic mode at that point. They're trying to sign D'Angelo Russell. Everything's moving around them. They lose Kevin Durant. Everything is happening at once, and they feel like they're probably losing grip on what they had as a stronghold in the Western Conference. And so they go out and try to get D'Angelo Russell, but they need other things to happen to make it work, to make the money work. You find enter Memphis Grizzlies. We'll take on $17 million, no problem. We don't have to give you anything, but it's going to cost you a first-round pick. So the first-round pick is a 2024 top four protected, and then it's a 2025 top one protected, then it's a 2026 unprotected. That's not three first-round picks. I know that the Woj tweet last night was very confusing, and a lot of people thought it was three first-round picks. That's not the case. It is one first-round pick. Those are the protections on the pick. So the likelihood of it conveying in 2024 is very, very real. And that's a really far away pick. That's 5 years away. You got to think about that. And in reality, look at that and you say the Warriors, oh, that's not that big a deal. That's going to be a pick in the 28 to 30. It's not going to be that good of a pick anyway. That's not necessarily true. You look at that and Klay Thompson, Steph Curry is going to be 36 that year. Klay Thompson is going to be 34. D'Angelo Russell is going to be 29 or 28. I mean, that's a really – that's 5 years away. That's a long time in the NBA. And you could look up and they could be bad again. They could – that could be end up being a sneaky good pick. So you put that pick far enough out there where you give yourself that possibility of being a bad team. You don't know what's going to happen in 5 years. They might still be good, and that's fine. If they're still good, then whatever. But you give yourself the opportunity, you give yourself the chance for it to be a bad pick far enough in advance, 5 years. That's a long time in the NBA. So you give yourself a chance for it to be a bad pick, and that is the smart move. Not only do you take on Andre Iguodala into your traded player exception, but you get a pick that's far enough away that could, from a good team, that could potentially be a very, very good pick on a bad team in 5 years. That's the first part of it. The second part of it is Andre Iguodala is a good player. Andre Iguodala is a person, when you look up in February, that he could be shipped to a contender for another asset. You look up and you're like, we have Andre Iguodala. You want Andre Iguodala, you're a title contender, you need another some more depth on the wing. Well, we have Andre Iguodala. You just give us a first-round pick and you guys can have him. No big deal to help you win a title. We're not competing anyway. That is the part of the deal where you get assets, but you can also flip those same assets in the future for more assets. I mean, that is the best part about this move. There's been a lot of speculation that they will buy out Andre Iguodala. That's just not going to happen. Them buying out Andre Iguodala is not going to happen. What incentive do the Grizzlies have to buy out an asset? What incentive other than just to make Andre Iguodala happy? I understand that. I get that. But you don't just buy out an asset and let him walk away. Unless Andre Iguodala is willing to take zero money from the Grizzlies and forfeit the entire salary except for the veteran's minimum, which he's not, then you just let him walk. I mean, you just keep him on the roster, and you figure something else to do with him. The other potential in this is they could actually have maybe a third team lined up. We don't know yet. Maybe if they have a third team, they ship Andre Iguodala to a third team and get that pick and get something else from a third team, and Andre Iguodala never even comes to the Grizzlies. That's a potential as well. So the two most likely scenarios, though, is that he stays on this team until February or until January, sometime in next season, and he's shipped off for additional assets, or there's a third team involved and they ship him directly to that team right now. He never sees the Grizzlies, but they get additional assets right away. The idea of him buying him out is I would dismiss that altogether. I don't think it's going to happen. It would literally shock me if that happened. There's just no incentive for the Grizzlies to do that from their side of things. The other thing it creates is, again, we start talking about this cap room problem. So this leaves about $13 million under the luxury tax for the Grizzlies to work with. They still have to re-sign DeLon Wright. So there are some things here. This trade coming with this $17 million coming in for the Grizzlies almost certainly means that Kyle Korver and Avery Bradley will be bought out. Kyle Korver can be bought out and save $3.5 million. Avery Bradley can save almost $11 million, roughly $10 million. So the Grizzlies are going to need the cap space to stay under the luxury tax. They could do the deal with DeLon Wright and probably still have money under the luxury tax, but I would be surprised if they don't again. This almost certainly means they'll waive Avery Bradley at least. And then Kyle Korver, I would expect to be waived as well, but that one's more on the uncertainty than I am very certain about Avery Bradley being waived. This creates a situation where they have to go re-sign DeLon Wright, and they most likely will use their biannual exception for a signing in free agency. I don't think they're going to use their mid-level exception, but if they wanted to, they could waive on Avery Bradley and Kyle Korver, get back so far under the luxury tax, but still be over the cap and still be able to use their mid-level exception and their biannual exception on free agency moves this season. But they're already over. I mean, they got a lot of people on the roster already. They've got to trim players down as we speak. So, again, I would most likely see them in this rest of this free agency probably re-sign DeLon Wright, waive Avery Bradley, waive Kyle Korver, and then probably have a free agent acquisition in the Bay. The biannual exception category. Now, that is an exception. It's like the mid-level exception, but they get it every other year, so it's biannual. So if they don't use it this year, it will be gone next year. So they're going to have a ton of cap space next year. And then if you're under the cap, you also lose that exception as well. So not only would they lose it because it'll be next year, but they'll also lose it because they would be under the cap anyway. So if they don't use it this year, they're not going to have it for two more years. So they'll probably use it this year for sure. So look to them. Again, that's worth about $4 million, right under $4 million. So it's going to be a player that's on the lower end, but maybe, again, that's where you look to, maybe it's a sneaky good kind of acquisition where it's a player that can help you in the long term. So that's something that I would expect them to use, because if they don't use it, they'll probably lose it. And they'll definitely lose it next year because it won't be available, because it's a biannual exception. It's every other year. But they'd also lose it because they'd be under the cap. They're going to have a lot of cap room next year, and that's where you can look at probably really making free agent moves. And that's why I would be very hesitant to sign anybody with that mid-level exception, because next year is when the year you're going to have a ton of cap space, and that's where you can make some serious moves and realistically be in contention again next year. That is something that this franchise has been able to do. This front office has been able to do 180 degrees from last summer. This time last summer, we were talking about running back grit and grind. And this summer is a completely different scenario. So this front office has done a really, really good in the short time they've been available or been a part of this franchise. So look to them to keep making moves. Coming up next, we're going to talk about a few questions you guys sent in. I'll answer them, and we'll get out of this Monday's episode pretty quickly with your questions. But we'll have those. We'll talk a little bit more. I think there's one about who's getting waived, so we'll talk about that a little bit more coming up after the break. Welcome back to the show. Your questions are up next. I got a few right away when I asked for questions this morning. I'm actually on a vacation with my family right now. It's a little mini vacation. So, but this is too important not to record an episode. So that's what we're doing. So question from Nick, top three questions. He has three questions. Is the rest of Conley's exception used this offseason? Bradley, Corver, Iggy, trade, waived, or stay? And what's it look like on DeLon Wright front? DeLon Wright, I'll start with him. It's still up in the air. There's still a lot of teams that need point guards. Patrick Beverley re-signing with the Clippers is something I didn't think it was going to happen. I thought he was going to go to the Mavs. So that's something that, again, the Mavericks still need a point guard. Terry Rozier going to the Charlotte Hornets, I think it shakes things up for them. As far as the Charlotte Hornets, if Kemba left, was kind of one of the people I pegged for DeLon Wright to maybe get some interest from. They had Terry Rozier on just a terrible contract, but nonetheless, they signed him. So it's still kind of really up in the air. I haven't heard a lot about DeLon Wright just yet. I think he's one of those tier B guys who, you know, you'll have all this stuff happen the first 24 hours of free agency, and then you have kind of the second tier of guys start to go where, you know, they everybody's kind of settled down, and then there's people still needing positions, and that's when those second tier of guys start to go, and I think that's probably what you'll see in DeLon Wright. As far as Conley's exception used this offseason, I don't think they'll use the rest of it, just because they're mostly out of room. Just because they use the exception, they still have to stay under the luxury tax. So them re-signed DeLon Wright, and then also signed a biannual exception player. They're not going to be far from the tax after that. So I would say probably no. As far as the waited, trade, or stayed, Avery Bradley, I think, will be waived, as we just talked about. Kyle Korver as well. Andre Iguodala, I think he'll probably stay for the interim and then get traded down the line for an additional asset. DeLon Wright, see, this is from another question. DeLon Wright getting an offer worth or north of $9 million. He says Corey Joseph got 11. Would the Grizz sign and trade if it gets too high? There's been a lot of sign and trades this year. I mean, way more than there has been in the past years. And I don't really know the reason for that, but there's been a lot this year. So much that it's very hard to keep track of, honestly. DeLon Wright getting an offer north of $9 million. If DeLon Wright gets $9 million or more than $9 million, I think it's a situation where you just kind of have to just walk away. I know that's going to create a position where you have to go out and get a third point guard, because you got to have one on the roster, a third guard that can come in and play. So you're going to have to go out. That would create a situation where you would have to maybe have to use that mid-level exception. You'd have to go out and get someone. And so you want to try to avoid that if possible. And I think DeLon Wright is the better re-sign, even better than Jonas for the long term for this team. He starts to get $11 million. I think that's a situation where you started to have to really, really think about if they just walk away. The sign and trade thing is all the rage this season, like I said, but teams are really running out of cap space quite quickly. And so you'll see a lot of teams that had cap space that might have been potential partners to be able to do something like that before, but that cap space is drying up pretty quickly in the first 24 hours of free agency. So I wouldn't say yes, but there's the partners for that are severely, severely limited in who you could do that for. And so I would still be surprised if he gets an offer north of $9 million. Honestly, that would surprise me. Last one from Vince. Why can't we make the playoffs this season? We could make the playoffs this season. There's no one to say you can't. But like I mentioned in the last segment, they're going to have a lot of cap space next summer. And so this season should just be about no expectations. Go and watch Jaren and Ja and just have fun. Like, it's going to be a fun season. They're going to lose a lot of games because they just don't have the players yet. They're missing a few pieces on as far as scoring, especially on the wing, to really be good. Not that they're going to, they're going to be bad, but just go have fun. Just go watch the players have fun. But next year you're going to have $67 million coming off your books. If the Grizzlies wanted to have slots for two max free agents next year, they could. Now, I wouldn't, because you still have to look long term for about Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. They're going to afford probably max slots in the future. So you want to keep your books kind of clear for them too. But if you want to go out and offer a Malik Beasley or Jason Tatum or any of these guys that are your restricted free agents that you could possibly, I'm going to offer down the max, and I'm going to make them either make a decision on this player, whoever that is for the other team, and they're going to have to pay a lot for him, because we're going to overpay him. The Grizzlies are going to have to go overpay someone. But if they go max out one of those guys, then you have this situation where you have some guys coming in who are very good, are very good NBA players to partner with Jaren and Ja, who are also very good. And next year, next summer is when you should really be looking for to go out and make a splash of free agency and really try to get, knock it out of the park and really try to get some real good free agent acquisitions in here next summer. And then next season, that's when you can start to look at maybe we're back in this thing. Sure, could you make the playoffs this season? You could. But this season should be about asset acquiring, rebuilding, asset acquiring. Go out and trade Iguodala for another first round pick. Go out and get and build the assets up, so when you go out and you do have to max Jaren Jackson Jr., you do have to max out Ja Morant, if you bring in another max free agent, those other teams, the way they're able to build those teams is they have max players. They also have cheap players, and those cheap players come via the draft. The cheap good players that you have for 9 years on a rookie scale contract, or 4 years on a rookie scale contract, and then another 4 years into restricted free agency. Well, those 4 years on a rookie scale contract are almost nothing in the cap space in terms of what teams are spending. So you go out and you max all those guys out, but you also have the assets you've acquired from this year to continue to build out your team in those years where you have max free agents, but you're also able to add talent at a lower tier and very, very cheaply. That's what you should be doing this year, is asset acquisition. Appreciate you guys tuning in today. Again, I'm on the road, so I apologize about the quality. It's probably not as good as usual, but I appreciate you guys tuning in. We will do another one tomorrow, talk more about free agency. Hopefully this DeLon Wright stuff drops and we can talk about that again. If not, keep sending me your questions. I'll keep answering them as we go through the week, and we'll continue to talk about free agency every single day this week on Locked On Grizzlies. Make sure you go out and subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies, whatever platform you choose. Just subscribe so you don't miss an episode.